Hello, I'm Pastor Rod Holler of the Cape Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida. I hope this message will be a blessing to you. Thanks for listening.
We are going to, over the next few weeks, see what Scripture has. In God's revelation from times past to future, what God has for us. You know, the Bible is really quite an amazing book that God wrote what was going to happen before it happened. You know, why can you believe the Bible? Well, that's one of the big reasons. God has given us incredible insights. This study is not going to be so much an in-depth of revelation and the events so much to come, but rather the big picture, the organization, the layout of what God intended, what He knew, and what He has revealed to man. It will give us understanding of our world. It will give us comfort knowing that God truly is in control. I want to start tonight making sense of the confusion. There are so many voices crying out. You know, in one of the prophecies Christ told the disciples, many will come in my name. There's going to be many people crying out. It's one of the signs of the second coming. As it goes on and on, and we get closer, there's going to be more people proclaiming different things, some actually claiming to be Christ. But don't we hear so many voices and so many schools of thought? Let us really see what God has for us in the Scriptures. I want to start tonight, maybe in an unusual spot, but I think it's going to give us a starting point, and then we're going to kind of get some buildup of different aspects of Scripture. I want to talk about the confusion tonight, and I'm going to try to intentionally slow down because we're going to talk about the millennium. We've heard the term millennium, but if I were to ask you, where is it in the Bible? I'm sure some could find it. Some would say, well, I think it's... Well, we're going to look at this tonight. We're going to consider some of the confusions out there. There is a school of thought called amillennialism or amillennialism, teaching that the reign of Christ is really an allegory. It's just a picture. It's not really going to happen. His reign is not a literal but a figurative way of saying that He'll reign for a long time. They don't believe that the Old Testament prophecies of a literal kingdom on earth will be fulfilled. They teach that Israel forfeited the covenant promises given to them and that the church today is enjoying those promises as Jesus rules on the throne in heaven. Wrong. Postmillennialism. Jesus Christ is going to return at the end of the 1,000 years. Wrong. It teaches that there is going to be successful evangelism. The world is just going to get better and better and usher in Jesus Christ. If you believe that, right, just for fun, let's think about how much better this world is getting. We'll start with the United States history a little bit. We have an American Revolutionary War. We have the American Civil War. We have World War I. What was World War I first called? The War of All Wars or the Great War? But they had to do away with that title when World War II came along because it grossly overshadowed World War I. How about the United Nations started in 1945? Let's think how much better the world's gotten since then. Vietnam, Grenada, Falkland Islands, Castro takes Cuba, the Cold War, the Serbs and the Croatians, Russia and Afghanistan, Iraq invades Kuwait, Desert Storm, all manner acts of terrorism, United States and Iraq and Afghanistan. You tell me if the world's getting better. And if we were to take in more of the world, we would see more and more turmoil. To say that Jesus Christ is going to come at the end of the millennium when we're all done with this wonderful evangelism and turning the world so wonderful is folly at best. And then there is premillennialism. And I am convinced that's what the Bible teaches. This teaches that their 1,000-year reign of Christ will be fulfilled after Christ returns, and the millennium is a fulfillment of the promises to Israel. Christ will return, and he is going to rule and reign on this earth for 1,000 years. That's what I believe. That's what I see the Scriptures teach. Does it matter what we think? Yes. The Scripture does clearly talk about this. But there is really debate about this. And I want us to take a look in some different places tonight. What does the Bible say about this? And so tonight we're going to look at this millennium, where it falls in to Scripture, and then we're going to kind of go back. But I wanted to, for some reason, to start here with this millennium. Christ will physically return to earth and rule over the Jews and Gentiles. Satan's going to be bound, and there's going to be a 1,000-year time of peace. This is what we have. Now, obviously, I couldn't give you all the verses, but I'm going to start to read at Isaiah chapter 2, verse 3, and you have verse 4 there. And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. Now, what am I reading here? I want you to stop and think, what is Isaiah talking about? When is this going to happen, or did this already happen? And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. When is that? Boy, is there debate and arguments on some of these things. Well, Christ is going to return here, or it's an allegory, whatever. I believe that is clearly referencing the millennium. And I want to go through three passages tonight and really show you why I believe where it is as the Bible teaches. One of the things that causes a confusion is because in Revelation chapter 20, it's the only time we see the word 1,000 years in referring to this time period. That's where we get the expression millennium. The word millennium itself is not in the Bible, just like rapture is not. But it's taken from Revelation 20. But there are other portions of Scripture that support this coming kingdom here on earth that's after us today in time, but before eternity. There really is coming this time here on earth. And we're going to see several Old Testament passages predicting this time on earth. It's superior to what we live in. But it's not eternally perfect. We're going to look at Isaiah 65, Zechariah 14, and then Revelation 20. One of the things that's interesting when you do go back in time and look at Old Testament passages, God has not necessarily revealed everything. So that's why when you read some of these things, it's like, that's confusing. If you remember, we have from time to time looked in Isaiah where he says, for unto us a son is born, unto us a child is given, and the government shall be on his shoulders. That's true. But what they could not see, because it was not revealed yet, was, unto us a son is born, unto us a child is given. That's Bethlehem. But it's going to be the millennium till the government's on his shoulders. There's an incredible gap in the middle of that sentence. And the Jews couldn't see it. That's one of the reasons they had such a stumbling block with Jesus. Aren't you going to start the kingdom now? And the Old Testament sometimes bundles some things that we have got the corrective lens of time and we can see more clearly. Isaiah 65, 17. Again, I could not give you all the verses, but I want you to listen. Isaiah 65, 17. For behold, I create new heavens and new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. Eternity. Right? Pretty clear. That's verse 17. Jump down to 20. There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days, for the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. Now what's that talking about? Isaiah, I believe, was moved by God to, yes, there is coming an eternal heaven. There are going to be new heavens, new earth, but before that, there's going to be this time no more than an infant of days. And I'll develop this a little bit more. Take a look at verse 25. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. Now, what happens if you put a wolf and a lamb next to each other in a cage and expect them to eat? The wolf will eat, the lamb won't. And the lion shall eat straw like a bullock. The dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. There's coming a time even the animals are going to be at peace. Yes, there is coming a new heaven and a new earth. Is that talking about eternity? Let's think about this for a minute here. First of all, is Isaiah 65:20 talking about eternity? No. Let's read it. Verse 20. There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days, for the child shall die and 100 years old. There's not going to be any death in eternity. So how can it be talking about eternity? But yet it says there's coming a time where if you're 100 years old and you die, you're considered a child. The millennium. There's coming this time where if we live to be 100, we're considered a child yet. So first of all, there's no death in eternity. So it's not talking about eternity, but it's talking about a time when people will live longer like they did in days of old. So first of all, there's death referenced, and then it talks about this incredible age of living to be 100 years old. Well, there's not going to be any age in heaven, in eternity. How old are you? Eternal. That's how old we're all going to be in eternity. Eternal. Well, when does it take place? When is this time? Now think back, Isaiah was written several thousand years ago. Is it happening today? Do we live to be 100? Again, let's anchor on Scripture, not my opinion. Psalm 90:10, the days of our years are 70 years. 70 years. And if by reasons of strength they be 80 years. So it's not talking about today because we're old at 80 years old. Right? And so the Bible is telling us that's for today, but there's coming this time. It must still be in our future because if we look back, people weren't living between Isaiah's time and our time to be 100 and still be considered a kid. There has to be a time, not eternity because there's still death, not eternity because they're still counting age, but between now and eternity, there has to be this time that we call the millennium. Eternity has no death. Revelation 21:4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death. Well, Isaiah clearly says there's death. But in eternity, there will be no more. There will be no more. That would go back to the beginning of Isaiah 65. So Isaiah was moved to write, yes, there's eternity coming, but before that, there's coming this time of death, but long life, and the wolf and the lamb will feed together in peace. This incredible time of peace. It's the time of Messiah truly coming and the government being on his shoulders. So we have present lifespans are 70 to 80 years old, according to Psalm 90. The millennium lifespans are well in excess of 100 years, based on Isaiah 65. And in eternity, the lifespan is eternal. Revelation 21:4. There's no more death. So between now and eternity, there has to be this time where people are going to start to live longer. The millennium. Let's take a look at Zechariah 14. Do you remember Acts chapter 1? Christ stood on the Mount of Olives with his disciples, and he said, the Holy Spirit's going to give you power, and he ascended up into heaven. And what did the angel say to them? The Lord's going to return in like manner on the Mount of Olives. Someday, let us read Zechariah 14:4, and his feet, Messiah, shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof towards the east and towards the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north and half of it toward the south. And so it is, the Lord literally ascended into heaven from the Mount of Olives. And the angel declared to the disciples, he's going to come back in the same place, in like manner, and there it is, foretold by Zechariah. In other words, there's coming a literal return of Jesus Christ, the millennium, to set up this 1,000-year reign where even the wolf and the lamb lie down together. People live longer, yet they still die. But it's a literal return. And verse 9 of Zechariah 14, "And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day there shall be one Lord." But right now, yes, God is King of Kings, but we still have the prince and the power of the air today. Satan is going to be bound during that 1,000-year period, and Jesus Christ will rule. I want you also, though, to look at this, what Zechariah is talking about. Look at verse 18 and 19. "And if the family of Egypt go not up and come not that have no rain, there shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite the heathen that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles." All right, what's it saying? In the millennium, they're going to be observing the Jewish feasts. Christ is going to be ruling in Jerusalem, and they're going to be coming, in this case, to celebrate, if you will, the Feast of Tabernacles. And if they don't come, look at it, verse 19, "this shall be the punishment." Is that talking about eternity? No, because there's sin. And yet it is talking about, as we go back, look at verse 9, "the Lord shall be king over all the earth." And yet there is still rebellion. "No, I'm not going to go to the Feast of Tabernacles." Still rebellion, still sin. "This shall be the punishment of Egypt," verse 19, "and the punishment of all nations that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles." And so it is that the Lord is King of Kings here on this earth, and yet there will still be sin. This time yet to come, because Jesus Christ has not come back yet and split the Mount of Olives till there's this very great divide. It's not there yet. It has to be time future. And yet it's the rule of the Lord, but yet there's still sin, so it's not eternity. There has to be something between here and eternity. It's called the millennium. Now, Revelation 20. This is where the Bible gives us even more insight. When you read the scripture, let me give you two Bible principles to help you understand. There's a thing called first mention principle. If you take, want the big word? Hermeneutics. In Bible college, this is one of the things you study. First mention principle means the first thing God tells you about something is extremely important. For example, the first thing we hear about the devil in the Garden of Eden, he's more subtle than any beast of the field. Very important. But then, part two, we have what we call progressive revelation. God then, throughout the Bible, builds upon that original truth, telling us more and more and more about it. And so it is that we see back in the Old Testament glimpses of this coming time, but yet detail is lacking. But it has to be between them and in the future. It is a time, though, before eternity where there is a coming rule of Messiah here on the earth. But now Revelation gives us more insight. Let us read Revelation 20, starting at verse 1. "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, the old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him," here it is, "a 1,000 years. Wait a minute. I want you to stop now, just digress for a second. If we're going to have a millennium, and Satan's going to be bound, but the nations are going to still rebel, because we don't need the devil to sin. We have enough within us. God is going to prove his point. Even if I take the devil out of the picture, mankind is still evil. "And cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years, there it is again, think God's making a point when he repeats himself, till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. After that he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished, this is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part of the first resurrection. On the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God in Christ, and thou shalt reign with him 1,000 years. And when the 1,000 years had expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out and deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, number of whom is the sand of the sea. 1,000 years. God's making his point. That's where we get the expression, the millennium. And Satan is going to be bound. Christ is going to come down, touch upon the Mount of Olives. It's going to split, and he is going to set up his kingdom for 1,000 years, ruling and reigning. But it is yet to come, but it's before eternity. This 1,000-year time. It is a literal reign, not figurative. We see the potential for sin referenced in Revelation. I didn't give you this verse. Write it down for reference. Revelation 19:15, it says, he is going to rule with an iron rod. Why? If everybody was perfect, why would you need an iron rod? You wouldn't. There's sin. How about this one in Revelation 20:8? Talking about Satan being released and shall go out to deceive the nations. There's sin, but eternity is perfect. This is not talking about eternity. It's talking about a time between now and then, just like Isaiah and just like Zechariah. This has not happened yet, where Jesus Christ has literally set himself up on the throne in Jerusalem. The thing that they had trouble seeing in the Old Testament, and yet it could be seen had they studied, all they had to do was look at Daniel's 70 weeks, we'll get there, is there's two comings. Philippians 2:7, Jesus Christ was made of no reputation and took on the form of a servant, born as a baby in Bethlehem, the first coming. Unto us a son is born, unto us a child is given. And so it is, Jesus Christ came the first time as a baby. He stood on the Mount of Olives after the resurrection, and the disciples were there, and they said, are you going to start the kingdom yet? Because they didn't understand the church age. It was completely hidden. He says, it's not for you to know the times. And nobody could see that Christ was going to go up into heaven, and in round figures, 1,900 to 2,000 years later, here we are, still waiting for the return. Do I believe it's close? I believe it's close. I guarantee you this, we're a day closer than we were yesterday. And you can quote me on that. Jesus Christ is coming the second time. Revelation 19:6 talks about it. Revelation 11:15 and Revelation 19:16. If you put those three verses together, you have the lyrics for the Hallelujah chorus. For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. King of kings and Lord of lords. Hallelujah, hallelujah. There's coming a day. There's coming a day. Where is Jesus today? Well, he lives in our hearts by faith, Colossians tells us. But where is he literally today? He's at the right hand of God the Father. Psalm 110 tells us, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Repeated in Hebrews 10:12. And look what Peter said in 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ Messiah also hath once suffered for sins. That was the first coming. And then in verse 22, he is gone into heaven and he's on the right hand of God. That's where he is today. But he is coming back and his feet are going to touch the Mount of Olives and it's going to split and he's going to set up his kingdom and it's going to reign for 1,000 years here on this earth. One of the things, I've whet your appetite tonight. I know I've covered some meaty stuff here because quite often people don't get into Zechariah and Isaiah. I understand that. I hope it was able to be digested. But we're going to spend some time now over the next few weeks and continue through on this concept of understanding the big picture. And we will be alluding back to this and hopefully it will start to unfold. But the key is we must see the big picture. Because if we don't see the big picture, it gets confusing. Did you ever hear the expression, you can't see the forest for the trees? I really think sometimes people get so microscopic they lose the perspective. That's why tonight we had to kind of look at a big picture of this millennium. We can know a whole lot about a little. Now, I have alluded to this illustration, but I have never officially done it. I just want to take 1 second tonight. Let us take the pretend scenario that I tell you I have a special friend coming to church on this Sunday morning, and I would love for you folks to make a point of greeting him. Let me show you who he is. That's his eyeball. Could you recognize him if he walked in the back door Sunday? No. You know a whole lot about little. But you have to stand back and... Now could you greet him? Yes, because you can see the big picture. Sometimes we get so microscopic on these verses that we start to lose perspective. And we don't understand the proverbial big picture and how they fit together. And when we start to see how it fits together, it makes sense. Just like you couldn't recognize that guy by a picture of his eyeball, but you can when you see his face. The details fall into line, and then things start to make sense. But sometimes we kind of get ahead of ourselves. And I really think this is sometimes how people get confused on these doctrines, because they're spending so much time that they start to forget, wait a minute, how is it all going to fit together? I've shared with you in times before the silly story of the six men of Indostan. I will just summarize this. These six blind men came up to an elephant. And the first one walks up to the elephant and he falls against its side and he says, the elephant is a wall. Well, the second one goes up, he grabs a hold of the tusk. He said, the elephant's a spear. The third one goes up and he says, no, the elephant, he grabs its trunk. He said, it's like a snake. Well, the fourth one went up, he felt the leg and he said, the elephant's like a tree. The fifth one went up and grabbed his ears and he said, the elephant's like a fan. And the sixth one went up, he grabbed its tail and said, no, the elephant's like a rope. All had a degree of truth, and they were all wrong because they didn't see the big picture. This is what I hope to do over the next few weeks, is give big picture. Then when you read the scriptures, you can start to say, okay, I understand because of progressive revelation, God has not made it totally clear yet, but when I put that together with this back here, I start to see the picture unfold. We covered some meaty stuff tonight. Hang in there. Sometimes we have to cover some meaty stuff. We have to preach the whole counsel of God.
This is Pastor Rod Holler. I pray you enjoyed that message. Thanks for listening.